Okay, good evening. Is it sunny in here? It will be sunny. It will be. So this should brighten up our night and our day. This learning is so unbelievable. Really, you know, the Stipler, who was one of the greatest sages of the 20th century, lived in Bnei Brak for the last part of his life. So he once said that if a person learns the work Chovas Levavos, and they don't learn the work Chovas Levavos, duties of the heart, he says you just see a different world. It's literally, you look at, it's a different trees, different people, different experiences. Everything is different. It's a different life. And the truth is, even I would say, arguably, even more than that, Mr. Osher, which is the primary work, if we inculcate what we're learning, it's a different world. We're not living on the same planet before and after. So it's a sunnier world. It's a brighter world. It's a more successful world. And if I can say it, it's a more geschmack. You know what geschmack means? You can't translate geschmack. Geschmack is like...
tasty?
It's taste, but it's not... it's like just better in every way. Just, you know, we run, you know, in the world, she says, this person's like a geschmacky, and it's just like... it's a great person. It just makes it. It's hard to translate. You gotta live it.
Delicious.
Yeah, delicious. It's delicious. I like it better. Delicious. I'll take the life. Delicious. Geschmack. It's a delicious world. It's like, you know, delicious. It just. It's so much better. So, we're really gonna dig into the fourth parak tonight, parak dalet, which is how we acquire. We had talked about the past couple weeks about being contemplative and thinking about. Life, and more importantly, about how we're living, what we're doing, the decisions we're making. And that really the ultimate criteria of success starts by living a contemplative life, by thinking over what our life is about, what our goals are, what's really important, by thinking about the mistakes we're making, are we making them over and over? And even the things that we're doing, could we do better? Right, or we're just caught up in a rut, just going through the motions, not taking, you know, not getting ahead, or just being satisfied and complacent, which things that we can do much better. And that's how we talked about. So now, the Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lutzato, is going to talk about how we acquire Zahiris, and how we acquire this trait of vigilance, which is the beginning, because if you don't have a spark, you don't have a spark, you won't get anywhere, right? To advance in life, we need a spark. How do we get that spark? So now, this applies to all areas of life, but in particular, on a spiritual level, where we're bombarded with everything, you know. When I was younger, even there was still a semblance of the world, whether it was the media or entertainment or whatever. Of pushing family values, pushing decency. Even that's gone today. Forget ruchnius, forget levels of spirituality, even a value of decency, of being wholesome, you know, of being good, of being righteous, is largely lost in the world today. And if we don't have that coming from ourselves, we're not going to get it from the outside world. It's not there to get. So, in particular, how we can have a spark to advance as people, as holy people, and as Yidden, as Jews. So, Hinemasha maybe it's Adam, Alder Klal Ela Zahiris, that brings a person to Zahiris, which is vigilance, who Limit HaTaris, Taris. Now, you're going to say, you're not in yeshiva, and what are you still, or are you still in seminary at all?
No, I go to an alumni shir.
You go to an alumni shir, okay.
Really.
You know, so you're saying, you know, it's not, you know, by ladies, you know, it's an interesting thing. The Chazon Ish, who is actually the Stipler's brother-in-law, the traditional bracha that you give a boy historically was Shemigadol the boy to Torah Chupa and Ma'isim Tovim. Traditionally, right, to Torah, to marriage, and to good deeds. Just men. That was.
You just give that bracha to males?
Yes.
Oh.
So hold on. Not done yet. And for females, traditionally, you'd say, you should be galdel her to a Ben Torah, she should marry a Ben Torah, a Chuppah Ma'isin Tovim. That's really, for hundreds of years, what parents would, you'd say, wish to a parent when a child was born. But the Chazon Ish already decades ago said, when you say a girl today, you should say Torah, Ben Torah, Chuppah Ma'isin Tovim. Right around the time where Beit Yaakov started, where the Beit Yaakov started. Why is that? Because the Chazon Ish said it used to be that a girl should be in a Jewish home, in whether it would be in Krakow or in Warsaw, in Prague, in Sana, in Casablanca, you know, in Budapest, wherever it had been. Djerba.
Tunis.
Djerba is also Tunis, right?
Yeah.
Right.
It's an island.
It's a little island, right? That's the old, you know. Wherever it would have been, a girl would have been in a house and she would have been absorbed by an environment of Torah. Everything would around her be Torah, you know, and she would have Yerushalayim Shemayim, and the whole vibe was that. But already, decades ago, the feeling, this is actually getting to other things, it's not a topic now, is that women need a connection to Torah, not Gemara, but to Torah, right? The things which are pertinent to their lives, things which are germane to their lives. And because Torah reminds us what life is all about, right? And therefore, it's so easy. So historically, girls always learned halachas, right, of what was germane to them. Musar would also, they'd learn the parsha. But even today, you know, what girls learn today is they learn chumash bi, and they learn, you know, yeah, and that's good. But because, you know, even when you can learn the parshas vayechi, you can learn about a part of the parsha which doesn't even relate to your day in day out life, but it's reminding you what life is about. Right, not only on a spiritual level, but Torah is reminding, whenever a person studies Torah, reminding, what are we doing here for? What's it all about? Why are we here? Right, everything about Torah, certainly the parts that tell us how to live, are that. So the first thing to lead us to think about life, a contemplative life, to think about our own lives, think about each one of it. Because listen, at the end of the day, ladies, you're all great for coming here tonight. No, seriously, I don't take it lightly. It's a Wednesday night. You can be doing a lot of things with your time. You chose to come to a class on Musar to invest. You know, so people tell me they're tired sometimes or they have family obligations. They're probably all true, but, you know, if you push yourself, sometimes it could work out. You came here. But you know what? After 120 years, we're all on our own, right? Whether we made the most of our lives or not, right? It's up to us, right? It's up to us to do it. So when you're sitting, even you learn Torah, you start thinking about what life's about, right? You're investing time into something which is important, something which is valuable. So Torah and Torah study reminds a person what we're doing and why we're here in this world. V'umash Amar Rabbi Pinchas, this is Rabbi Pinchas, who is the son-in-law of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was the author of the Zohar. Who is his Rabbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? No. Would you say Rabbi Eliezer?
His son.
Elazar was his son. Who was it? Rabbi Eliezer was his Rebbe's Rebbe, actually, though. Rabbi Eliezer Hercules.
Rabbi Akiva?
Rabbi Akiva. Right, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was one of the five great students of Rabbi Akiva. So Pinchas Ben Yair was the son-in-law of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And again, the Braisa talks about this path of striving for spiritual greatness. So with Chilas Braisa says Torah, the whole path starts with Torah. Torah mevir ilu dizahiris. Torah starts to become a person, to become vigilant. Amal derech pra hameilu zehu hisponenis. But in particular, what leads a person to be vigilant and to have that spark is chomer hisponenis al chomer ha'avoida. In particular, to think about the path, what we need to do, and the seriousness of it. You know, the seriousness, the importance of what we need to do. Asher chayiv bo ha'odom, where a person's obligated in. You know, sometimes you start a new job, you build a business, you start a transition like marriage, you better know what you're getting into. You imagine, when you wake up, it's, you know, you gotta be ready. You have children, it's chosen, you have 9 months to get to repair, right? But you better be ready. You gotta be ready. You have to know, and you have to know that there's consequences. I can't tell you how many times in the past month I've had people in my office, and I had to tell them there are consequences to actions. And I just had to say, you know, we make decisions, and those decisions have consequences. Right? There are consequences to actions. Now, and Hashem is very kind to us. He allows us to do tshuva. But in this world, you make a decision, you make a business decision, you make a marriage decision, you make sometimes religious decisions, they're very hard to go back on. Right? But you get locked in, or you fall down a path, and it's just very hard. Right? There are consequences. Well, the ultimate consequence in life is, did you live the right life? Did you live the right life? You know, you live once. You're here once, right? Chomer, there's importance to it. Right? Did you waste the opportunity? Did you utilize it? But alzeh, when a person thinks about it, ha'ion b'maisim haksuim b'sifrei hakadosh. When a person learns, you learn whether it's the Torah, parshas v'yechi, so much here, you know, so much here. You know, if you're thinking about you have some free time, Shabbos, v'yechi, you learn this week's parsha, Yaakov, who's compared to Adam Rishon before the sin, his parting message to his children, right? The last, giving the Shvatim their blessings, his last thing with his sons around him. I mean, there's so much here, right? You think about what the Torah is telling us, Sifrei HaKadosh, the works, the holy works. When I remember Beryl Wine, one of his books, he said he's with one of his teachers. And he said that teachers were holding a secular book, whatever the book may have been. And he asked the teacher, can I carry your sfarim? So he said, these are books. There's sfarim and there's books. Books are important. You need to know math. You need to know science. It's good to know history. I like history, right? Okay. But there's sfarim and there's books. Right? Sfarim. You can read 100,000 books about math. You're not going to make you a holy Jew. It's not going to make you. Svarim are kodesh. They sanctify our lives. Now, you could see God in science and in history. Right? That's if you already have that. You can put it into science and history and see Hashem all over the place. Right? And even in math. Right? Even in music. Right? You can see how the unity of things. But you need to have kodesh. Right? When you learn Sifrei HaKadosh, I mean, Alimu B'Mamrei Chazal, when you learn Perkei Avos, when you learn the works of the sages, they remind us about how we're supposed to act, what we're supposed to be doing, how we could do better. Now, within this contemplation, there are several levels of inspiration. L'shalmei Hadas, there are certain people who get inspired to live holy lives, better lives, coming from the high road, from the highest road, from the most noble of intentions. Well, the p'chusim behem, and then there are those who are not living as a lofty thought. Well, the kol ha'aman kulo, and then there's something that everybody can get. Now, Chazal call, our sages call the Jewish people filled with mitzvahs. As a general rule, Jews who have some connection to Torah mitzvahs do many, many mitzvahs. Everyone here in this room prays, kosher, you know, Shabbos. Important, it's filled with mitzvahs. But, you know, that's being a Jew. That's being a Jew who believes in Hashem. We can do, you know, if we would realize, you know, I can't tell you, I'm in deep, I started learning some of the, you know, when I turned 40 last year, started learning more of the Kabbalistic. You know, you learn how high the soul is, how holy we are. You know, it's unbelievable, our potential. You know, if we would realize each one of us, what our potential is, it's mind-boggling, right? You know, so we could coast, and you could be if you're already in the camp of Torah, you're in the camp of mitzvahs, you're already in great shape, right? Each one of us should feel very good that after 120 years, we're going to be doing great. Yeah, please God, really. I mean, people coming to a class Wednesday night is great. Torah, great. But there's so high that we can reach. There's so much that we could accomplish if we put our minds to it. If we put our minds to it. To be greatness, you gotta put your mind to it. And that's not a pun. That's a reality. Our minds. Not the rabbi's mind. Not our best friend or spouse's mind, right? Our minds. The only way we can be personally great means to tap in the tremendous potential we all have is if we put our minds to it. So there's Shalmei Hadas. The highest level of contemplation is Tehillim Ha'ara. What's the inspiration to have that spark, to have that push, to have that desire for greatness? B'mashizbar lahem, a person who's of this highest level of inspiration, they're clear, kiraka shlemish su adavar, haroi shiachma mehem. That you know what, the only thing that's really important, is spiritual perfection. Right? The only thing that's really, now, I don't particularly care for people who are into their bodies. I don't care if they're, you know, this, or if they're a lady, they have to look slim and slender, also muscular, right? I know it doesn't speak to me because, you know, your body will atrophy and it's temperate. Nothing wrong with being healthy and being in shape, I think. But if you, but one thing I appreciate when I watch such people is there, when they, these weightlifters or people, their models, whatever gender they may be, their body is their desire. Like they watch their eat, how they sleep, what they do. I mean, it's like literally obsession. They every bite they take, like literally every bite they take, they'll count their calories. You know, it's a focus to have this great body or physique or right. So that happens to be silly when you think about it. It really doesn't make a difference. Most of them I feel bad for because they have very low self-esteem. Their whole self-esteem is their body. Not all, but many of them. That's the case. You know, if they gain 4 pounds, like life is over. Or you know, it's a sad life at some things. You know, if you're a lady, I feel bad for you because no one cares about your soul. They only care about your body. I mean, it's like, it's not, they don't care about you. You're going to talk about objectify. You're totally, that is what you are. Right? It becomes your who you are. But there's something to be said about having a singular focus. Well, lahavdil, on a complete opposite, a much higher and holy level, is when you realize that shlemus, that intrinsically to be a perfect person, is you're rewarded tremendously in this world. You live a great life, a balanced life, a happy life, a life where you're in control of your emotions, a life where you walk on this world passionate and excited, where people appreciate who you are because of that. First and foremost, the people you're closest to, because they see that and they resonate with that. Right? And certainly in the world to come, right, you are the top of the line. And you know why top of the line? It's not even, you know, it's schar mitzvah, the reward of mitzvah, but the essence of the world to come is who we are. And a person who lives a whole shlemus life, a life of spiritual perfection, is that their essence is the world to come. They are, by essence, extraordinarily healthy. So when a person who has that focus, everything they do is they're gonna question, will this bring me closer to spiritual perfection or will it bring me farther away? Will this lead me to where I need to be? Or will it lead me farther away? And by the way, it's not always so easy because you got to put your mind to it. Because when you have your family or you have children, you have obligations. You know, recently I bring someone to my office to help them. And like, you ever hear of transference? I'm like, all of a sudden it transferred to me. I became the enemy. I was like, whoa. I'd say that, by the way. I just stayed. I kept my calm, smiled, you know. I'm thinking, the person's going to kill me. I had nothing to do with it. You know, it's like literally transference to me. So, you know, I realized that, and I didn't take it personal at all. But I can tell you, like, here, I started to feel like, why are they attacking me? You know, what did I do? I'm helping them. Right, but as a citizen, this is what I have to deal with for my own sake. And I can tell you, I failed plenty of these times in these type of things. But you know, when you realize it, you know, if I get upset, not only will I not help this person, I won't help me. Let's imagine thing, I get the person. What are you still screaming at me for? I brought you in here to help you. You know, that helped the person. No, I wouldn't have helped the person, and it wouldn't have made me a better person, right? So, you know, when your goal is spiritual perfection, you know, just like an athlete will watch how they sleep and they eat, the bottle of a person, you'll watch what's bringing me closer to Hashem and farther to Hashem. That's Rishalmi Hadas, when you realize there's nothing better. And there is nothing better. It is nothing that a person could be more successful in this world than the next than to be a spiritually perfect person or to strive for spiritual perfection. There's nothing as bad as that. That's what a person should desire. That's what a person should want. Lo zulazeh, right? And nothing else, and you really ponder it, you really contemplate it, is truly rewarding. Shein ra gadol, right? Me'achasar na'shlemes v'achaka mimenu. Now, actually, we have a few musicians, Mrs. Fagan, Sklovsky. Right? When you're a musician, help me out over here, right? How do you become a good musician?
Practice.
Practice and? Well, not only practice. You have to have technique, right? You have to work on what you're doing, right? There's certain things that probably ruin your mindset for music, right? You have to have a mind for music. Am I right? I'm assuming. I took piano lessons for 2 weeks. I quit. I had no passion for it at all. Nothing personal. I wanted to play basketball when I was a little kid. I was like, what am I doing? He said, like, you know, this. Like, let me out of here, right? My siblings took it a lot longer. They were very good, actually. But you need technique, right? You need passion. Anything else?
Good ear.
Good ear? Is there a way to get a better ear? Is there a way to get better? You could work on that, probably, right?
Yeah.
Right? And if you're a musician, could you tell when somebody's off-key?
Yeah.
Right? You could probably... Can you tell when people are singing off-key also? Okay, make sure if I ever daven, I know who's in the room. But you realize when you're in music, when you're off-key, does it bother you?
Yeah.
If you're a musician, you realize you're off-key?
No.
What?
According to my teachers, not always.
Not always. But if you did, it would bother you, right? Because you feel that music's off, right? No, I'm just trying. So a person, when they realize that they're off, it should bother them, right? It should bother them, right? Now, sometimes in life, we're forced, if we're off in our, you know, I we'll get actually later in the book to anger. I will never forget this. I was once in Israel, and there was on a tour with my family. It's like my in-laws, and there is all in this area up north. There's lots of tours going on there. And somebody got into a fight with their tour guide, and he was screaming. And I looked at this lady afterwards. I thought she was possessed. And I saw her a half hour later, and I could see her, like, decompressing. Like, you know, like, she still had, like a face, like, a wild dog. Like, literally her blood was, like, pumping through her body. I was like, whoa, I feel bad for this lady, you know? And then I saw her, we went for this tour, I saw her like 2 hours later, she was still upset, but not as upset. You could imagine spending 2 hours being like that? That's terrible. What a waste. What a waste of your blood pressure. What a waste of 2 hours of your life, you know? Sometimes you have that reality. You get into a fight, you're sad. No one likes to be sad, you feel it. You feel, you know, if you think negatively, you will feel your mistake. You will feel your mistake. You know, and you will. There'll be a reality easy to feel. If you're in a fight with your spouse or your children, or you make a poor decision which you hit you immediately, that's you have immediate consequences to that. But there are other things. You don't dive in with kavana. If you're spiritual, you'll feel it. You'll say, "How did I bench like that? Like I just said bracha. It's like, why did I do it like that?" You know, and the more spiritual you are, like, I could have benched with kavana. You know, I watched bench with, I'd say, why did I bench like that? You know, I don't remember that person. I should bench like that. And, you know, I love this story that Rabbi Elia Lapian, was a great Baal Musar. He was the founder of Mashgiach Kfar Chassidim. Was a Shiva in London and in Gateshead. It had been in Lithuania in Kelim and in Telz. So in London, I mentioned this before, but such an unbelievable story. London was being bombed in the summer of 1940 right? The Blitzkrieg was the Luftwaffe was attacking London, right? Thank God Churchill came in and saved the country. So he's once davening Mincha in the middle, and they start to bomb, and they're all running to the bomb shelter, and he comes down, and he was so upset. He said, I can't believe I davened such a quick Mincha. I didn't daven. Now, of course, they were being bombed by German planes, but he felt, to him, not having a Mincha was like getting into a fight with that person and being angry for 2 hours. That's how it felt to him. And he felt what it meant not to have a good Mincha. Right? You know what that means? It means for a person who's looking to be connected to Hashem, how they daven, they're not just that they're nice to their, how nice they are to people. They feel it. You know, and how giving they are, and they're calibrated. Not in an OCD way, by the way. I'm not talking about being OCD and nervous and uncomfortable. That's not healthy, right? I'm talking about in a healthy, balanced way, right? At their level, there's a feeling of what's really important, what's really worth it to put our energy into. So for once a person's clear what's really important in life, right? And it means that what's really important is good deeds, mitzvahs, v'hamidas hatovas, and good character traits, right? And being a good person, and being a mensch, being a good person, having good character traits, being a person of decency and kindness and goodness and caring and happy and positive, right? And calm, right? Being a calm person, being calm is good. There are times you have to be heated. There are some, but generally, our general default in everything in life should be calm. Should be relaxed in life. Not lethargic, not careless, not carefree, but or Zelig Pliskin. If anyone ever wants to read great books, he has great books. My all-time favorite book of his, Gateway to Happiness. I'll tell you, I read that book for years before I went to sleep. Parts of that book. Years I read it. It's such a good book. So he talks about serene zrizus, serene alacrity. I mean, doing things quickly and with spark and with speed, but calmly. And every see a person in Russia, like, like you feel like you're getting away, I scared you with my acting. Can you imagine if you see such a person? Like, you ever see people like Manhattan, like they're walking in Manhattan, and sometimes like you think like there's like 9/11 government's happening, like they're walking they look uncalm. It's unhealthy, right? So you need to do things quickly but calmly. So a person realizes, this is what's important. By the way, in marriage, in relationships, as a parent, as a friend, right, as a child, as a sibling, right, when you focus on midas tovas, you get into much fewer fights, squabbles. You're much less sensitive to people. The negative sensitivity, when you're overly sensitive. You know why? Because what's important to you is being a good person. When you focus on that, your life is so much better. And you know what happens? The people around you are so much better. Because you know what happens when someone's a bum, or somebody's a bad person, or somebody's an angry person, or somebody's a nervous person, or somebody's an unfriendly person? It spreads to the people around them. So not only do you help yourself, but you help everyone around you. If your focus is on midas tovus, you will change yourself, you will change your family, you will change everyone around you. Because that's what it means, that midas tovus. You fix yourself, and the greatest rewards in the world to come, because you're an other mashalim, you're a complete person. But in this world, it has a tremendous impact on how you deal with people, how you deal with, and how people deal with you. And therefore, when you realize that mitzvahs, somebody was in my office, they gave me a donation on Sunday, they told me they live for a donation. I was like, that's great. That's unbelievable. You know what that means? That's loving mitzvahs. You know, some people, they live for their vacation. Some people, they live for the vacation. And some people live for mitzvahs. You realize this is life. This is, you know, if you give $1,000 and you spend it, you know, going to LA for a weekend, and you had lots of pizza and you gained 4 pounds, so you gain weight and the vacation's over. You get $1,000 in tzedakah. That's forever. That's right. I'm not saying, by the way, there's a time and place to go on vacation. Also important, especially, you know, families very often need the quality time. Not knocking that. But you have to realize, like, that's a medium. The mitzvah is the bottom line, right? You know, the mitzvah, I exercise, you know, I try to, and I'm not always successful, but I try to go on the treadmill in my house once or twice a week. I wouldn't call, oh, I went on the treadmill. I go on the treadmill so I have strength to daven, to be happy. But my bottom line is not the treadmill. The treadmill is important, right? Or whatever exercise I can squeeze in, right, is important. But I live for the treadmill. The world, you live for the treadmill. No, I use a treadmill to be able to, you know, daven, have be able to focus on my learning. Well, in a person, I live for vacation. You're living for the treadmill, okay? Now, you may say the vacation is great for my family, so you should live for your family. That's something. That's an investment. Family is an investment. It's not the vacation. The vacation is a treadmill. That's all it is. And treadmill is important. You got to be in shape. You got to be wholesome. But you got to know what's important. When a person realizes, is cognizant and aware of what's really important, that's what they'll focus on. Meisim toivim, good deeds. Midas toivas, good character traits. Vada yishli svatzimel, you're not going to want to leave any of them. You're not going to want to lose them, right? You're not going to miss Wednesday night next week. How could I do it? Someone's going to invite you to get a great thing. No. Can't miss it, right? What? I'm davening. Somebody, I got to daven. You know, that's what I got to do. I have a daily, you know, Sunday morning. Some of the ladies still do tillum, 10 o'clock? 10 a.m.? 10 a.m. tillum?
Yes, we're doing it.
Someone invites you to go out for
8:45.
That's now it's 8:45.
From 8:45 to 10.
Changed.
Yeah. So we always did it 9 to 10.
Oh, 9 to 10, okay. So I spoke
about it. We started doing it a little earlier.
A little earlier, okay. So if you're part of that's the mitzvah you want to
give us class about the healing.
Okay, beautiful. So if that's your mitzvah, you shouldn't give it up. That's something you're committed to. You got to be really, really off the charts to, you know, yeah, that's what you're doing. You have a chnasis orachim. I mentioned last week that I'm reading the book with Sima for our time of Rabbi Arya Levine, a tzaddik in our time. Rabbi Arya Levine, if he didn't have guests, would go onto the streets and look for guests on Shabbos. He looked for guests. He looked. He couldn't imagine not sharing his Shabbos with other people. He went out in Dreisen, that means outside, to the gas, to the street, and looked for people. And you know how he felt? If he had somebody, oh, like Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is that reality. Avram Avinu, when he's on his third day after a bris milah, and he's, how old is he?
99.
Okay, let's make sure. If not, I get a chazor chomesh over here. 99 years old. You know what? A 99-year-old third day, people have bris at that age, you're knocked out for a long time. You can't, like, weeks you can be knocked out. 99 years old, you can be really knocked out. He was so driven, he couldn't imagine. Him having guests, giving Torah, sharing Hashem, was such an essence. It was such a reality towards him. And you can't imagine. You know, I have to go to Dallas in a few weeks. Now I'll tell you what. I'm making my flights. My wife was encouraging me as well, because she's a tzaddikis. And one flight's been very convenient to make sure I try to get Minyan. You know, I can't, you know, and I'll tell you the truth, if I missed Minyan, I'm not talking about Davin, I'm talking about Minyan. You know, I would have felt like, you know, I would have felt chaser. You know, it's not the same mincha.
What is chaser
mean? Not lacking. Lacking, good question. Lacking. Now, you got to feel if you missed out on something. It wouldn't happen. Bez Hashem should never. But if I miss my Friday night meal, Shabbos, I think we all feel this. Like, I miss Friday night. It's not the same. You're the Suda. Right? That should be the goal, is to fill up with all mitzvahs. We could, if we met Friday night and we fell asleep and woke up, we were like, oh my goodness. Or if we just did something else, we feel like, how did I miss my Friday night Suda? Right? But with a person, the more mitzvahs, we don't want to miss something that connects us to Hashem. That's our essence, that is. And the more we focus on this, the more we'll have it. So we have clarity, and we'll do it. Right? So if we're lax with them, or we do things haphazardly, so we'll never get shleimus in this. If we don't put our mind to it, if we don't push ourselves in this thing, then we're not going to get there, right? Because if it's not that important, right, it won't get done. Things which are not important don't get done. It's not that important to us. It's not valued. It's not, I always say, if you come into shul, you get dressed up for shul. Because if something's important, you get dressed up. People come to shul with basketballs or with their secular books. I one time a lady came and did her taxes. The shul, I was like, get out of the shul. Honestly, it's not the fact that it's disrespectful to shul. If you view the shul as the place you do your taxes in, you're not going to be a spiritual person in the shul. You come. Somebody sent me today a link. I thought this was great, of a Gentile in Ohio, when he got put on a suit to see his first nephew. It was like a viral video. And you saw this already? Somebody sent me this video. I thought it was great. You know what that means? No. A Gentile. A non-Jew. A guy. Nicht a Yid. Not a Jew. So the guy put on a suit. You know what that? He was taking it seriously. It's his nephew. He said he didn't want to be in pictures 20 years later with his nephew wearing a T-shirt. His first nephew comes there. I once saw this story. It's Hafla Fella, but it says a lot that when the Kapishtzer Tzerebo was a very, very holy Jew. He was a Jew who was known as a tremendous tzaddik in Vienna before the Holocaust. Then he lived in New York. Rabban Kala loved him. So he went, one of his grandchildren married Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's children. So, or his great-grandchild, grandchild, I forget how it went exactly, but they were in marriage. The commissioner was about 25, 30 years older than Rev Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So he went to visit Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And the way back, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach walked him out, and I think Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was sitting. Oh no! Whatever it was, I think they were waiting by the bus stop. Pesach Rebbe was standing, and Shlomo Zalman Auerbach insisted to give him a chair. And he was standing. Whatever the, I'm trying to listen to the details. But the point was, sure. So why was it so important? He says, how could I, if it would be that the Rebbe has to stand, he's 9 years old, and I'm sitting, it wouldn't look good. It wouldn't look good. If it doesn't look good to people, it doesn't look good to me. And he felt he had a camera on him always. Right? It was always a feeling of, how is this going to make me, how is this, what's the essence of what I'm doing? Now, if you come into shul dressed like a weekday, then the shul's a mundane place. You come to your Shabbos table, you're wearing your pajamas, well, then it's not a Shabbos table. It's just not. I'm going to remind you that now. Now you're on tape. Yeah. For posterity, right? It's a different reality. If we do things half-baked, if we run into davening, if we give tzedakah and we just don't think about it, if we have guests and we don't put our time, whatever it may be, the things that we work on, things that we're machshev, the things that are important, that's how they become to shleimus. Mashulam tzaragud avanim tzar chaser hashleimus. And really, if you take things not seriously, or you don't invest in it, or you let things go loosely, nimsam chaser hashleimus, a person will end up being lacking in shleimus. Mashulam tzaragud over rabba ken lo yivchel laharbes behem. So a person who's a Shalmi Hadas will look in every single way to do it in its best way. Right? In every single way will look that there should be nothing lacking in that Shlemus. The mitzvah should be perfect. You know, let's pick Shabbos. There, the Gemara talks about people would shop all week for Shabbos. So you go to Pars every day. No, you open up 6 days a week. You go to Pars. You buy things, something special for Shabbos. You know, you get some babka. Bamba special shot. Bamba, Prigat, right? You get some burrata, whatever, maybe. You invest in Shabbos. You know, you take a shower for Shabbos, you wear Shabbos clothes, you set the table ahead of time, you do Zemir. You want to have Shabbos, you can do Shabbos. You know, I mentioned this story that I once had a boy who had first Shabbos. He grew up completely, totally reformed. And I had what to do with him as years ago. So he grew up in a community called Scranton, Pennsylvania, right outside. He had one very quasi-Orthodox friend, he told me. So he once went to Shabbos. But this is his first Shabbos in his life. He slept at my house. He did it a few times, and actually today is largely Orthodox. This is many years ago. So he says to me, he gets to my house for Shabbos. He says, okay, when are we playing Monopoly? I said to him, what? So yeah, I went to my friend's house. They play Monopoly every Shabbos. I said, my friend, you're in for a big surprise at Shabbos. You're in for a big... You think Shabbos is playing Monopoly? You think I'm going to play Monopoly on Shabbos? You know, so Shabbos, I play Monopoly, I go to Boardwalk and Park Place. All right, that's what Shabbos is. I said, no wonder you're still reformed. Who wants to be... You could become more... You could keep Shabbos to play Monopoly. You could play Monopoly on Wednesday or Tuesday or Monday. You know, but do you ever try chillin' to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? You can't eat it. It's a different. It tastes gross. And I tell my wife always no leftovers. You know, it's a joke. What's the essence of Shabbos? You want to live Shabbos. You want Shabbos to be real. You got to make it real. You got to invest in it. You don't just do Shabbos, right? You say a bracha. I'm telling you right now. You say a bracha, a shahako. You see a shahako with kavana, it changes your life. The whole world is from God. You focus on that, you're uplifted. You as you're looking at your strawberry or your Samsung universe, that bracha didn't affect you one iota. Not one iota, right? It's to say, Shleimus, a person who's important, will look to do everything they can to make it, the best. They won't be complacent, and they're concerned that to be done correctly, that it should be just right. Because it's important to them. It's not even a struggle. You know why? When you're passionate about something, when you desire something, right, you want it. It's not hard. You think Avraham Avinu was hard for him? You think Arya Levine was hard for him? It was what they wanted. You think it's hard when a person cares about davening? It's what they want. Right? If you desire, I remember Lahav, the office when I was going back, I played basketball younger. I didn't care. I played 2 hours a day, and my coach killed us because I wanted to be a good basketball player. I ran, I don't know how many laps. I don't know how many push-ups. It didn't bother me. It's what I wanted. I can't say that was the smartest thing to want at age 15 and 16. But at that point in my life, besides other things, in Shabbos and kosher, I did all that. But did I think about Shleimus? Unfortunately not at that age. Right? But at that age, I didn't make a difference. When I was 17, things changed. But at that point, 15, I kept Shabbos and I kept kosher. I brought us, blah, 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 blah. Learn Gemara. But it wasn't... I think this is the most important. When you want something, when you desire, the first thing to know, if you want it, if you realize, it's not just one, people want a lot of things. When you realize, when you're clear, when you have clarity, that there's nothing better, there's nothing more important, then you can get what you can achieve this. Fuma Shlomo, right? Hamelech Allah, which Shlomo said, Asher Adam Mefakatan, praise of a person who is constantly fearful. Chazal said, Gemara says in Brachas, it's a sin to be a nervous person. It's a sin! It's a sin to walk around being a fraidy cat. Scared of life. Scared of people. Nervous and anxious. That's sinful. Nothing less. It's a sinful reality. Now, a person should have, you know, a certain amount of concern about things, not to do dumb things, not to be careless and reckless. That's not being walking around. But going around worried about all crazy types of things is a sinful reality. But the Gemara says, Asher Adam Mefakatam, praise it is a person who's constantly fearful. So the Gemara asks, what does that mean? Didn't you just say it's a sin? And then what the Gemara says, it's important and good to be praised if you're worried about your spirituality. To be worried about your spiritual life, that's to be praised. If a person has that, then you're on the right track. Therefore, the Ramchal says that the highest level of this lofty people, the people who care about personal spiritual greatness,
those people, they scared. I mean, they wanted to be close to Hashem because they scared. That's what I'm thinking about.
What do you mean?
They have two kinds to be religious. I mean, to be close to Hashem.
Right.
Okay. One, you want it. Okay, from your bare heart, because you're doing that from your heart. And the other part, you have some fear, dying.
Oh, okay. We're gonna get to that. We're gonna get to that. Not this week.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna get to that. We're talking. Yeah. No, you're right, and you're right. And actually, the author will talk about. But we're talking about a person who they're doing things because they realize the value of it, and if they're not, and because they realize the value, when they're not doing it, it bothers them, and their desire is to do it. And right, and you're right. Actually, he's going to talk the types of yira, a fear of even God. There's fear of HELL. Some people have, that's a lower level. There's other types of fears as well, right? There's fear of punishment. There's fear of I don't know, pick on Sephardim. Sometimes you get some Sephardi raw. You don't do this, God's going to curse you, and your business is going to go bad. Like, I'm not saying it's not true. If you break Shabbos, and maybe you don't have the blessing of Shabbos, but that's a low-level fear. You should keep Shabbos not because your business is going to go bad. You should keep Shabbos because Shabbos is a belief in Hashem. Right? You keep Shabbos, you believe in Hashem. You keep Shabbos is an affirmation of Hashem. When we say Shabbos is Makor HaBracha, Shabbos is such a bracha, that's a side benefit. The real reason to keep Shabbos is because Shabbos makes you close to Hashem, and Shabbos reminds you there's Hashem. That's why you keep Shabbos. There's lots of levels that a person could do, right? So we'll get to those different types of fears, and they're all true. But right now we're at the top of the line over here. We're a person who wants to be spirit. And by the way, nobody is perfect. No one's perfect. It's the desire for that. It's the goal of that. It's the focus on that. And the highest level of that focus is Yiras HaChet. To fear sin. Because if you... to fear sin. It's Meshubach HaShem. That's the most praised. It's not just your general path. You're scared of that one thing which will trigger you negatively. I'm not talking about... Not even talking about... to go to an area... To go somewhere where it's going to... You're going to go... But you're going to be... that something is going to trigger you to keep Shabbos less, to do blessings less, to be not as nice, to dress more promiscuous if you're a lady, or to be whatever it may be. You're scared of the sin itself. It's because when you realize that what a sin is, it blocks you from spirituality. It blocks you from closeness. I should have no anything of a never shiakveo. You know why? Because sins and sinful behavior, it brings a person away from their goal. If you have a goal, you have a focus. Things that bring you away from that, you want to stay for. You're scared to do it. Right? You're fearful to do it. You focus on what you want or what you need. You don't want to get anywhere near it. Right? Whether it's a person, whether it's a place, whether it's a reality, if something is going to bring you down, you want to stay as far as possible.
What about the Yetzirah? It's not easy. It's very hard.
The Yetzirah. What about the Yetzirah?
He's always there.
He's always there, right?
So it's not so easy to get away from all that stuff.
Yeah, we're gonna get to the Yetzirah. But there's a remarkable chazal that says, and the Yitzhar Ra comes el shenichas bo reich shoshtos, when you have an act of foolishness. And the Yitzhar Ra comes when we lose focus. As long as you're focused, now you may have slips, everyone has slips, but as long as you're focused, you'll end up where you're supposed to be. You know, the chazal compare the Yitzhar Ra to a fly. It's compared to a fly. So I always say, let's see a person with a fly. You know, it's a person with a fly. They can be doing the most important thing in the world. They could be having the most intense flies. I've seen this. I'm sure you've all seen this. Also, the guys do something important. Like, they start chasing after fly. Like, they get on. I've seen people like get on chairs. Like, they're looking for this. I mean, they were in the middle of doing something important. Also, they're on a chair and they're trying to swat the fly. And they're looking here and they're looking there. You know, a little fly could take your pet. So Yitzhar Ra, what it tries to do is to make you lose focus. But if you're unfocused, Yitzhar Ra can't touch you. Well, the minute you're focused, the minute a person's focused, I can tell you one thing. I say this without blinking. If any of us learn Musar every day and stay on focus, nothing to scare the Yitzhar. Siyata Deshmaya. It's when we lose focus when the Yitzhar Ra comes in. When we no longer have our priorities straight, the Yitzhar Ra comes in. But we're focused, and certainly after the daven and pass our big test, but in general, the Yitzhar Ra gets people who are lack of focus. That's how the Yitzhar Ra comes in. But we'll get to the Yitzhar Ra, that's jumping ahead. The Alze Amru Chazal, Derech Mashal, metaphorically, our sages told us, Milam Shekol Echad, Milam, it's a Gemara in Bava Basra, Shekol Echad Nichve Michupasho Shechavero. In the world to come, everyone will be singed from the chuppah, from the olam haba of their friends. Why? Because they'll look at this. Wow, look at this person in olam haba. And this is in the eternal world. Ki ein ze mitama kitz. Not because of jealousy. Not because of jealousy. Asher tibo borach. So that's jealousy is of people who have lower perception. Kamo she'ektav. As we'll discuss later on in chapter 11 in the Sefer, in Chilak Yud Aleph, of a Chaser Yadas, Alivnei Ritzosu Kamas Chashma Shemes. In Shemai, when you see somebody ahead of you, you're going to say, they had more Shlemus, which means I had less Shlemus. You'll feel bad, not because of jealousy, because I could have done more of who I am, right? You know, I'm feeling myself. It doesn't make a difference to anyone else. Right? It doesn't make a difference to anyone else. You know, in this world, we'll get to jealousy. This person has more money, this or less money. It's not really up to us. It's like God's job in the world. But our shlemus, we are judged and determined based on our own potential. Nobody else. You know we're judged against? Us. Nobody else. You know, they say over that they say over a couple of people, they sort of Zusha and other people, that also just to say in Shemaim they're not going to ask me, in heaven they're not going to ask me, was there a Moshe Rabbeinu? They're going to ask you, was I Reb Zusha? The question they're going to ask me is, was I Reb Zusha? And that's the question Hashem will ask each one of us. He's going to look at, were you the person you could and should have been? Did you become the individual you could and should have been in this world? And when in Shemaim you see people above, that doesn't mean it's not because of you. They're not ahead of you. It means they hit more shlemus, and you could have been there had you worked on yourself. There's nobody here. We're all equal. Right? Shlemus is what we do of what we could do. Right? Some people are born into easier situations, difficult situations. Some people have born with, you know, things to overcome, personal issues, personal challenges. And so God judges us and expects us based on the package that we're dealt with. Right? No one here is the same, but all of us have this opportunity to reach shleimus based on who we are. Kemosh Sigur Chavero, v'nah piyazbonis hazeh, this is the first group, v'adai shelo yimna hashlam edaitel yazar ma'zev. If you have this Weltanschauung, person has this hashkafas hachayim, this worldview, certainly you'll have that spark. If you realize and you're focused and your desire is to be a person who's shalom, that's what you, the glasses you look at this world, sunny glasses, no? Sunny, right? That person has this world, that's their focus, then certainly they'll have the spark to serve Hashem. Next week, we'll pick up with group number two, number three, which will, whether we're, what we learn from all groups, there's all things to teach us. This is the highest group. This should be our goal. Thank you.